Thanks to everyone that's read, helped us open the meeting, and take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. Extend a hand of welcome to any visitors and a massive welcome to any newcomers tonight. I hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. And we do have a speaker tonight, and pause for me to introduce them. Okay, so what can I say? There are no such things as coincidences in Narcotics Anonymous. I first met this gentleman randomly at the London Convention in the spring. It's the first time I'd ever been to London Conventions and met a lot of people, but we kind of bumped into each other in the drinking and eating area, which was pretty cool. And then purely by chance, I guess, in some ways, or there is no chance, we've met each other recently in service. I don't know much about our speaker tonight, I've got to say. I don't know, he's got a year or two in the program. I'm sure he'll tell us about that if he so chooses. But he's very passionate about his service, very passionate about NA, and I always look for that in people that we ask to share for us. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Owen, who's come along to share his experience, strength and hope with us tonight, 40, 45 minutes, his journey into and through Narcotics Anonymous. So Owen, the floor is yours. Please share with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. My name's Owen. I'm an addict.
Hello.
Hi, Owen.
Welcome.
Hi, guys. This is weird for me. And to say I'm not nervous would be a lie. But it's beautiful to be here. It's good to be in a meeting. It's good to be clean. Right. My story, myself. I'm from Wales in Britain, if you know where that is. It's a beautiful part of the UK. I live on the coast. It's my home, where I live, where I enjoy life now. My journey, what brought me here. So as a kid growing up in Swansea, I lived with a good family. I had a good upbringing, but I was always restless, irritable. Always felt different, always felt apart from the people around me and the people who loved me. I found out at a young age I was adopted, and I think that added another layer to it. You know, I knew the family I was with wasn't mine, and I questioned my validity in that all the time. When I was in school, to fit in, I gravitated towards the naughty kids, and I did what naughty kids do, you know. I became a part of that world very young. As I was growing up then, obviously, well, I gravitated towards the people who were taking drugs in school. Glue, the punk scene, aerosol cans and things like that was my first experience of taking drugs, you know. And suddenly I felt myself, I felt like I belonged, I felt a part of something, you know, from the separation I felt as a kid from my family. I felt suddenly I belonged somewhere. As I went on through school, I started smoking cannabis. But very soon, by the time I was 15, 16, I was taking heroin. By the time I was 16, I was using it intravenously. And that's where I felt I landed. You know, I suddenly found something that cured all the discomfort I felt in myself as a person, as a young boy. How can I say? Yeah. You know, I suddenly fitted in somewhere. By the time I was 16, well, 16 and a half, I left home. Steve talked about coincidences. This is crazy. Because I moved in with a gentleman where my drug taking went to another level. And this guy is the man who brought me into the fellowship many, many years later. I'll talk about that a bit later. My drug taking was bad. It was terrible. You know, I'm not going to go on about war stories because we all know those. Violence that I saw and took part in. The chaos of life, doing all the geographicals, trying to run away from situations and taking the chaos with me. It was painful. It was bad. You know, to recap on that, though, you know, I got to say and be honest that, you know, I did enjoy taking drugs. I did enjoy taking drugs. But, you know, as we all know, that it went seriously wrong towards the end. So in my addiction, I had kids. I lost those kids through my addiction. That was hard. That was very hard at the time. I couldn't see the life I'd put them into. I blamed the people around me for the things that were going on, for the life that I created, the chaos I'd created. When I was angry with those people, you know, and a lot of that anger kept me in that world. It was messy. It was very messy. By the time I was 21, I'd gone into prison, drug offences. You know, that was a little break for me. But, you know, I managed to get clean as soon as I left prison. I was straight on the phone to dealers coming out of there. You know, I could never stay stopped. That was my using, you know. And the drugs at the time, we used to break into chemists and steal the drugs from there. And the chaos that went with that then, doing shit drugs, basically, just doing shit drugs. But that was the world I lived in. I'm pausing now a second, hold on. Yeah, I never saw, you know, I was angry with the people around me, my mother especially. You know, I couldn't see at the time that she was, you know, the pain I was causing her and how much she wanted to help me, but she just got in the way of my using. And that drove a big wedge between us. And as an addict, I manipulated that relationship and broke her heart. You know, she died when I was still using, which is a great regret for me. I moved from one place to another doing the geographicals, but there's a place by us called Llanelli. I've been living there for a while. I came back to Swansea, try and sort my life out again. Had another child who lived in me through my addiction. I thought I was a good parent, but I wasn't. I was a bit shit, to be honest. Wrapped up in addiction. I went off to rehab, tried to stop there. You know, I found the sort of the greenhouse of being in a rehab was one way I could stop using again. As soon as I got out, I picked up, you know. And during all this time, I'd never heard of the fellowship, NA, the 12 steps or anything. You know, I was just running on my own will, trying to control my drug use and totally unable to do it. You know, I always thought I could do it. But there wasn't a chance, you know, I didn't have a chance. So this went on. For me, I was using for over 34 years intravenously. I was on a methadone script for 32 of them as well. I couldn't see a way out of it. A lot of chaos happened in that time. The chap that I was talking about, who I moved in with when I was 16, He found me on Facebook and reached out to me. He thought I was dead and I thought he was dead, to be honest. We'd burgled a chemist together. I'd gone one way and he'd gone another way. And we hadn't spoken for over 30 years. And, you know, he reached out to me and said, you know, have you heard of NA? Have you thought about doing meetings and stuff? And bless him, he came from Bournemouth down to Swansea and picked me up and took me to a meeting. That was how I found NA, you know, NA found me, really. First thing he challenged me with is, you know, get to as many meetings as you can. get to as many meetings as you can. Because when I went to my first meeting, I didn't really know what I wanted out of NA, what I wanted out of the meetings. I just wanted the pain of my life to stop, you know. It took me a little while to realize that, you know, I did really want to stop using drugs. You know, I just wanted the pain in my heart and my soul to stop. But I came to meetings and I listened. This is tradition three, and you know, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. And I found that desire by attending meetings. When I first got there, I didn't know what I wanted, and that was the truth of it. So he took me to a convention. I'd never been to anything like that in my life. He took me through the door, got me a tea commitment, and left me there. So for 3 days, I made tea at an NA convention. And that was how I met people in the fellowship and got introduced to what NA was about. This is the first time I'd ever heard my story of someone else. You know, it's that old story of I thought they were talking about me, you know, because these people shared the same experiences. They'd lived the same life I had. They were telling my story, and that was inspirational. It gave me a little bit of hope. You know, I saw something in these guys' eyes, in their hearts, and in what they did, you know, that inspired me and gave me a bit of hope that the way I was living didn't have to stay that way. And I met winners. You know, they say stick with the winners, isn't it? Which is a contradiction in some ways, because I wasn't a winner when I walked in there. I started coming to meetings in Swansea then when I got home. I was still on a methadone script. I was still smoking a bit of blow. And I was slowly learning about abstinence. You know, I'd never had that concept about abstinence at all. That took a little while. It took me 18 months to come off the methadone script, which was breaking old habits, I think. You know, in the end, it was just the routine. You know, I didn't realize that addiction was in my behavior and actions. You know, it was the fact of going to the chemist every day and picking up my script. Just that routine gave me something in life, even though it was killing me. So I slowly came down off that and and got free of it, you know. It's that one day at a time thing, you know. I was early days, I was 1 minute at a time, and then when I'd done a minute, it was 2 minutes, and then that went on and on until I got a couple of days, and then weeks, and then months, and then years. And this was all with the support of the people around me in the rooms. You know, that was one thing I learned early, was to pick up the phone and talk about what was going on, about how I was feeling and stuff like that in my using. I'd never done that. You know, the people around me, we weren't about emotions, we weren't about feelings, we were just about drugs, you know. So I had to learn a new language, a new way to express myself, to talk, and to be honest as well. You know, I'd never been honest before. I'd tell you what you wanted to hear, and you know, that was it. That's the way I dealt. Getting a sponsor then, you know, that took me a little while. It took me a little while. I had a few runs at it, you know, chose people. And you know, I'm an addict. I wanted things straight away. I didn't realize that what they were saying to me was they were trying to help me. You know, I fought that process early days. I really fought it. The sponsor I got today, he moved in with me at the age of 16 when I was in full flight. When I was in full flight, and today he's my sponsor, which is another one of those coincidences. The guy I started using heroin properly with brought me into the program, and the guy who lived with me, who I started, you know, he started using drugs with me, is now my sponsor, which I believe, you know, there are no coincidences. I know there are no coincidences. You know, that I feel that when I'm with him, we know each other. We're like old souls together. And he helps me massively and supports me. Working the steps. I don't like writing. I don't like being told what to do. But I listen. I've learned to listen. There's a saying in there, take the cotton wool out of your ears, put it in your mouth, you know. And that's something I picked up early days in the fellowship. You know, I do take guidance from this chap because he's got what I want. And that is core. The guy that brought me to the meetings, you know, I speak to him daily. He's got an a good few years clean. And it was seeing him, you know, I knew the way he used drugs and the way we used drugs together and the amount of times we tried to stop together and never could stay stopped for longer than a day. To see him clean and living a full life, a rich life, glowing, gave me the inspiration. And his words of, if I can do this, you can do this, you know, showed me that I could do it. You know, that, you know, no one ever believed in me in my life, but suddenly this man believed in me and told me I could do it. And he was willing to hold my hand and walk with me as I'm on this journey. And he still does. He was another chap who was in London when I bumped into Steve. He's with me when I bumped into Steve. So yeah, you know, the admittance of the you know, my life was totally unmanageable was that one that I, under my own power, I couldn't control my using. You know, I knew that, but I had never really admitted that to myself or, you know, written about it and stuff. Coming to believe in a higher power. For me, early days, the meetings, the people in the rooms were my higher power. You know, I went to a meeting and I felt connected to something. For me, I'd lost all connection with life through my addiction. Life was away from me. I felt apart from life. And all of a sudden, I was a part of something. You know, I was a part of the Fellowship of NA. You know, coming to home meetings, I was met with a warm smile and love from the fellow members in the rooms. Something that never happened in my addiction. You know, most people wouldn't want me in their house. They wouldn't want me anywhere near them because the chaos that came with me. Suddenly I was welcome somewhere. And that, again, was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So, I, you know, early days, I got a tea commitment. I stayed in the meetings. I was of service in the rooms. And I felt a part of something, and that has been a massive part of me. You know, they say 90 meetings in 90 days. I was 3 years in, still doing every meeting I possibly could, as every day of the week in my local area, and I still do as many as I can today. That's what has worked for me. I was told, you know, stay in the middle of NA, not on the edges. You might fall off. So I based my recovery on that by becoming a, you know, by letting NA have me, you know, and surrendering to that, you know, being a part of it, being a part of the structure. So going through the steps and stuff, you know, again, like I said earlier about my kids and things, I was so angry with other people about the stuff that I'd created, you know, that's step four stuff for me there. And you know, I never looked at my part in things before. I'd always looked at what other people were doing to poor old me, you know, my defects. You know, I still work, you know, they're a work in progress. They're a work in progress. 6 and 7, I try my best. You know, I'm not perfect with that stuff, but I do try my best. Making amends, I'm still ongoing with that. You know, my children are back in my life today. I lost them through my addiction. And me being clean is the biggest amends I can make to them. We've talked about stuff, about what I put them through. I sat and listened to them express their pain about what I put them through. And that was, you know, I could see that that was a massive transition for me in my recovery. You know, just being able to let them offload their grief and their pain and tell me what it was really like. And that reminded me of how, you know, how horrendous it really was. So for me now today, you know, life goes on. For me, life is in NA. Without NA, I wouldn't have a life. You know, I'm able to enjoy life today. I get on the beach. I work. I spend time with my children. But the biggest part of it, I think, is, well, I know, is being able to connect with the bigger side of NA. You know, meeting Steve. I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but he does stuff with Fellowship Development and just attending one of their meetings the other day and seeing the bigger picture of NA and how it's there to help people like myself is absolutely inspirational. It really lights my fire. For me, I've been privileged enough to be asked to go and do service in prisons, to hold meetings there. It's something I never thought I'd do. You know, I haven't been in prison a couple of times myself. Able to go back in and carry a message, just is absolutely brilliant. You know, no addict has to die using, and that's the truth of it. You know, for me, when I was using, I couldn't see a way out of it. I couldn't see a way out of it. But NA for me is the way out. You know, it gives me a life. It gives me a life. You know, it's exciting. We're making plans. I don't know if this is relevant, but it is for me. We're making plans in my part of Wales for Swansea. We're going to hold region down here, and that just is absolutely incredible. The way the fellowship is supporting us, the guidance we're getting from experienced members, again being a part of something that is helping other people. It's just beautiful. I have to pinch myself sometimes to realize the blessing that I've got in my life, which is NA. You know, it's something that I won't ever take for granted. The first meeting I went into was about complacency. There was a warning. It was a reading about complacency, and the guy who was reading it said, "You know, I've been complacent in my recovery, and this is where I'm at today." And he wasn't in a good place, you know. So for me, I remained committed to NA, committed to the meetings, and committed to being of service in any way I can. To the newcomer, the most important person in the room, you know, I love that stuff. I love what we do, the support we give, the love we give, because someone did it for me. So I love giving back what I freely received. I'm not going to make 45 minutes here. Is that all right, Steve?
It's very well, whatever you need, my friend, no worries.
Yeah. The time now, man. But yeah, so NA has also given me an awareness about myself. You know, I can remember hearing early days, you know, about emotions and stuff. You know, I didn't realize that once you took the drugs away, I was going to have to learn to live without them. And today, emotions, you know, they're good and they're bad. I get to feel life, which I never did before because I had the drugs, you know, to help me make the life well, feel the life the way I wanted to at the time. For me, one of my closest mates in recovery is seriously ill. He's dying at the moment, and this is the first place I've been able to talk about this. I really struggle with it. Because he's a member of the fellowship, and he's asked us not to talk about it there, and I've really struggled with that. I find it hard, you know. I talk to my sponsor about that, but not openly. You know, and it's, you know, it's it, oh, what's the word for it? I'm struggling for words on this. It's beautiful to be able to spend time with them and share life with them, and to share, well, to revisit memories and experiences that we've had together, because he's been a massive part of my recovery. But I've got a fear about loss and stuff like that, which I guess is natural, but it's something new to me in recovery. You know, this is the first time I've faced anything like this. So again, it's my emotions are a bit of a cauldron in that sense, awakenings and stuff, I suppose. Spiritual side of this program helps me to quieten that stuff down. You know, sometimes my mind can be a busy place. It you know, there's a lot of traffic going on in there. But when I ground myself and I do the suggested things, it gets a little bit easier. To say I work a perfect program would be a lie, because I don't. You know, I do my prayers in the morning. I do a bit of meditation, but the inventory stuff, I'm not that good at that. So yeah, I you know, I use the people around me, I suppose, to help me with that stuff, and I learn from them. I listen and I learn, and that's what NA has taught me, is to listen, is to listen. Yeah, Steve, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going around in circles now. Thank you, man. Thank you.